Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikail Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikail is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikail Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda, wa tuqa, wa al-afafa, wa al-ghina ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda, wa tuqa, wa al-afafa, wa al-ghina ya rabbil alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الله تعالى فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا and by his blessings you became brothers and sisters. We spoke in our previous sessions about one of the first things that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did when he arrived in Medina was he established this ukhuwa, this brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajirin. And the primary reason is because various scholars have written that the strongest thing and the most important thing that we need to grow our faith and become stronger Muslims, to grow in our spiritual maturity, to gain a deeper understanding of Islam, to gain a better connection to Allah, one of the primary things that we need is good brotherhood, fellowship, sisterhood, companionship. So many ahadith talk about this. And like all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are adab or etiquettes for preserving that. So what we did is we began this textbook of Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah. And Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah, he wrote this book in which he highlighted the adab of suhbah. And before we go into some of the adab that he wrote or the rites or etiquettes of companionship, but before we actually go into them, one thing I wanted to talk about very briefly was this word adab. This word adab, very briefly. Because I think it's something that as a community we're kind of losing. So we all know you have things that are like, fard, sunnah, or compulsory, or sunnah acts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you have this concept of adab, or adab. Now the adab are things that, according to some scholars, they're the things that come before or they're considered, you can look from one perspective, as less important than, say, the sunnah or the mustahab or something like that. But in reality, they're just as important. Because the person who starts to give up adab, the next thing that they lose is what? The sunnahs. And the person who starts to give up the sunnahs, the next thing that they lose is the fara'id. Exactly. So it's seen as a way to protect your fard. How do you protect your obligatory actions that Allah wants from you? You stay strong on your sunnahs. Because when you're strong on your sunnahs, you're like, oh man, I missed the sunnah. Astaghfirullah. How would you ever miss a fard if you're focused on keeping the sunnahs, right? Then you have these adab. Now these adab are even like more rarefied, less emphasized, but equally important in that if you're protecting these adab, then fadlan an sunnah. Like you're far away. How would you ever leave out a fard because you're so particular about these adab? So this text that we're studying, and we went through about how many last week? We went through five adab. Now, how many did Imam Sha'rani write in this book? 60, more than 60. So in this book, Imam Sha'rani wrote over 60 adab rites or etiquettes of companionship, of friendship, of brotherhood and sisterhood. And that's what we're studying today. We're going to start with number 6, inshallah ta'ala. And number 6, Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَنْذُرُ لَهُ بِأَيْنِ الْإِحْتِقَارِ. One of the rights, the 6th right of a brother or a sister on another brother or sister, أَلَّا يَنْذُرُ لَهُ بِأَيْنِ الْإِحْتِقَارِ. That, yeah, let's make room, inshallah, so you can come in. I have to be in the doorway. JazakAllah khair. And yeah, and just close, yeah, we can close these doors slightly. So it's just in case one of the mothers wants to listen a bit. Yeah, because it may be difficult. Khair, inshallah. So the 6th one, Bismillah, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَنْذُرُ لَهُ بِأَيْنِ الْإِحْتِقَارِ فَقَدْ قَالَ الْمَشَائِكْ مَنْ نَذْرَ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِأَيْنِ إِحْتِقَارٍ عُقِبَ بِذِلٍ وَخَذْلٍ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ نَذْرَ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ نَذْرَةً وُدًّا غُفِرَ لَهُ. Number 6, amazing, amazing. He says that one of the rights of a brother or a friend on another brother or friend is that they never ever look at them with a eye of ihtiqar. Now let me explain this word ihtiqar. Ihtiqar is to take something and to think of it as small. To take something and think of it as something insignificant almost. Something to belittle something or look at it as something not that important. And in one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, بِحَسْبِ إِمْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرْ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمُ. It is enough to consider a person evil. Like if there was one sin that would make a person be considered shar or evil, the Prophet ﷺ says that this one sin is enough to make to consider a person as evil. And what is that sin? أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمُ. That he ever look down upon or belittle or think of small as of his brother or sister. So this comes to a huge topic. And one of the primary things that destroys our communities, brotherhood, friendship, is this quality of arrogance. That we feel that we're better than someone, or that when we interact with certain people, we look down upon them. Now Imam Sha'rani is actually going to share this evening two more advices that go similarly with this one, and I want to look at those advices and come back to it. There's a Chinese saying that don't fear that people won't recognize your value, but rather fear that you won't recognize the value of other people. So the thing that's being said here, don't fear. Many of us in the times we live in, we really concerned that I want people to know who I am. I want people in this gathering to know my value. I want them to know my weight, my opinion, right? But in the process of wanting people to know who we are, do we not miss and realize the value of other people around us? And if we study the Prophet ﷺ's life closely, we'll see how particular he was, not only to recognize the value of people, but to raise their value as much as possible. So Imam Sha'rani here says what? He says, one of the rights is that you never do what? Tahqir, look down, belittle, or think of insignificant. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on this hadith, inshallah ta'ala, as we look at the next, at this haq, as we look at the next one. Because they go together. Look at the next one. Number 7. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يَرَى نَفْسَهُ دُونَهُ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ. صَعَبْ wallah. He goes, one of the rights of one friend on another friend is that they always consider themselves lower than that other friend. Dunahu. Ala dawam. Constantly. Now, we'll have to contextualize this, inshallah. I know there'll be tons of comments and questions about this one. وَذَلِكَ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْيَقِينِ. And he says, and whenever you do that, make sure it's as if you know it. Like, I know for sure that this person is better than me. Imam Abu Hanifa, he used to say, whenever I walk into the gathering, I know for sure when I walk in, I'm the worst person in that gathering. I don't walk into a gathering unless in my head, for sure, everyone in that gathering is better than me. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. وَلَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الظَّنِّ فَقَدْ قَالُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَرَى نَفْسَهُ دُونَ أَخِي لَمْ يَنْتَفِئْ بِصُحْبَتِي. This is the biggest thing. Whoever doesn't see themselves as دُونَ أَخِيكَ, like lower than your أَخِي, then they won't benefit from that person. They won't get benefit from the company of that person. Because again, it's so much about show my value. I want you to see who I am. So I miss the fact that I need to benefit from you and see your value that you have. So I'm constantly want people to see who I am. So subhanAllah, there's a few things I want to talk about. The base of this hadith is the concept of kibr and tawadha. Two words. Everyone was like, yo, spiritual purification of the heart is done. Oh, what's up with that? We were loving this series. Yo, this is purification of the heart too. And what we're going to talk about today is two qualities. Kibr and tawadha. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, it starts with this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, من تواضع لله, what? رفعه الله. ومن تكبر وضعه الله. The one who humbles themselves, lowers themselves, for the sake of Allah, رفعه الله. But the one who arrogates themselves, puts them above everyone else, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? وضع that person. Thabit bin Qais, well-known sahabi, he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he goes, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I'm a man that likes beauty, as you know. He says, as you know, I like nice clothes, I like nice kicks, you know. I like to look good, right? I'm not going to call no one out. It's a bigger gathering, right? I'm not going to call people out. Okay, I like to look good. So is that kibr? Is that kibr? Is that arrogance? The Prophet ﷺ said, no. Kibr is batal al-haq wa ghamta al-nas. Two attributes that wrap up and kind of like encapsulate this concept of arrogance. Number one, batar al-haq, rejection of truth. You don't listen to the truth anymore because who are you to tell me? You don't listen to truth. You don't take truth, correction, simply because of what? Who are you? Who are you? What right do you have? Right? What right do you have to tell me? And the second quality is what? Ghamta an-nas. You walk in a room and you're like, yeah, I'm the finest here. I'm the strongest here. I'm the most wealthy here. I'm the most knowledgeable here. These guys don't know what I know. The moment you walk in, this is what goes through the mind. You start surveying like, yeah, I'm it. That's me. SubhanAllah, clear kibr. But nice things, nice car, nice clothes. You know, you like to look good. Rasulullah says that's not kibr. That has nothing to do with it. So the main thing I want us to get here is what happens when we have kibr is, or when we bring in tawadha actually, this concept of putting ourselves down, what it does is it allows us also to see our responsibility to other people. This is huge. I really want you guys to really take this one home. The moment I realize that people are above me and that I owe them something, then now I'm focused on my responsibility to other people, not do what do people owe me. Not this entitlement as if I walk in the room and everyone must know who I am and everyone must respect my level. That's why that saying, that Chinese saying that don't worry about people recognizing you, worry about you recognizing people's value is so important. Because the moment you lower yourself, you begin to look at your ability to fulfill your responsibility to everyone else. The moment you arrogate yourself and put yourself above everyone else, now what are you saying? You're saying what? Where's my right? Why didn't you do this for me? Why didn't you do that? Do you know who I am? Why didn't it? And even if you don't say it, you think it. Why not this? Why not that? I was reading one Western academic, and he was saying, you know, on the East Coast, I was sharing this with my students, on the East Coast, you know, coming to America, you have the Statue of Liberty. You know, now what we need is on the West Coast, the Statue of Responsibility. Why? Think about that. It's heavy. Liberty, freedom, rights, entitlement, responsibility, duty, what I owe society. So you get to Ellis Island, you get the Statue of Liberty, right? Cool. But that's not the most important thing. The Statue of Responsibilities on the East Coast in Cali. You're supposed to see that too. We didn't build it yet. We're going to build it though. We're going to build it. From China. They're going to send it from China, right? Allahu alam. Yo, but seriously, the idea here is this thing of entitlement. Now, Tom Brokaw, I'm telling my age. Who knows Tom Brokaw? All right, cool. A few, yeah, me and Layla know what's up. Yeah, don't worry. You keep your hands down. Tom Brokaw, we remember him. Like, he was the figure, right? So Tom Brokaw wrote a book called The Greatest Generation. The Greatest Generation. Who's the greatest generation in Tom Brokaw's opinion? He says they built American economic success. Till today, the economic success that we're floating on, and well, yeah, it's pretty good. State of Union went well last night, right? What's the greatest nation? You can't say nothing, you know. My students know, they can't say. Come on. The nation of the generation that went through the Great Depression. The generation that went through the Great Depression. And he says why they were the greatest nation, because that struggle they went through taught them some key lessons. And you know, one of the lessons that they learned was no sense of entitlement to anything. No sense. The world doesn't owe you anything. The world doesn't owe you. And subhanAllah, like, that's such a eye-opening perspective on life. That go-getter mentality, that the world doesn't owe me. If I want it, I got to go get it. I got to trailblaze. And no one's going to sit there and say, here, this is what you deserve. Because they went through this generation where there was nothing about what you deserved. And he says that's what built who they were. This lack of entitlement, right? So subhanAllah, there's a lot that's going on here. But as we talk about this concept of tawa there, the idea is this, guys. The idea is that you begin to see the value of everyone that you interact with. And he says, the first thing he says is that you don't put someone lower than you. You never belittle. But then he goes to the next step, which is, no, you go to the next step, which is what? You put yourself below everyone else. Now, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that goes well with this. Sayyidul Qawm, what? Subhanallah. What's the hadith? Say it again. What does it mean?
The leader of the people is their servant.
So the hadith is Sayyidul Qawm, Khadimuhum. That the leader of the people is the servant of the people. The leader of the people is the servant of the people. The leader of the people isn't the one that walks in and wants to be served. But rather, the leader of the people is the one that sees the rights of the people and humbles himself below everyone else. And sees that he has a responsibility to serve every single person in the room. Right? So this is the concept that Imam Sha'rani is teaching us here. And then he says this. Look what he says, though. So what are we talking about? We're saying that it's to the point where you know you're below them. He says, ala sabir al-yaqeen, in a way where it's like 100% knowledge. Now, here's the deal. How can you reach this level where you really feel that you are lower than the people? And we'll contextualize this later. We need to have a Q&A on this and kind of breakout session on this as well. But he says, how can you do this? The wrongs about you, you know for sure. The wrongs about other people are what? Speculative. Think about what I'm saying here. The wrongs that you know about yourself, what you did today, what the prayers you prayed today, what you did last night, what you did this whole week, all that stuff, you know, yaqeenan. Yaqeenan means for certain. There's no doubt. But the wrongs of everybody else in here is what to you? It's mere speculation. So I have 100% certainty about me being the worst one, straight up. Because I know my stuff for sure. Then he says, on a deeper level, he's like, there's three categories of people. Either older than you, younger than you, or equal in age than you. And each one of these categories has the potential to be better than you. So how do the older people? Okay, wiser, what else? They did ibadah longer. Like, I know for sure. You did more sajda than me. You're better than me. Because you're older than me. All right, cool. What about the younger person? Sinned less. All right, I got you beat on sins because I'm older than you. What about the one your same age? Go to the first thing I said. No, I know myself for sure. Yours is speculative.
So you're below them.
For sure, because I know for sure what I did. I know for sure my sins. Yours, I don't know how much you cried last night for the thing you did. I don't know how much ikhlas is in your heart. I don't know how much you weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night when nobody knows. That's the secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in your heart. And the problem when a person arrogates themselves and put this quality of arrogance in them, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qala halaka an-nas fahuwa ahlakahum." The one who says the people are destroyed, man, everybody's messed up. What does the Prophet ﷺ say about him? They're the most destroyed. Subhanallah. Think about this hadith for a moment. The Prophet ﷺ is saying what? Once you get to this point where you look at everyone and you're like, man, this whole masjid is messed up. All these people, the Muslims, they're all messed up. And what did you just do to yourself? You just put yourself above everyone. You just lost value for every single person by arrogating yourself above them all. So the Prophet ﷺ said, never reach this point where you just lose hope in everyone and you say, man, everyone's destroyed. Because once you reach that point, فَأَنْتَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. Now, going forward, he says, this is so beautiful. He says, وَمِنْ كَلَامَ الشَّيْكِ أَبِ الْمُوَاهِبَ الشَّاذِلِي لَمَّا عَلِمَ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ أَنَّ كُلِ نَبَاتٍ لَا يُنْبِتْ وَلَا يُثْمِرْ إِلَّا بِجُعْلِهِ تَحْتَ الْأَرْضِ تَعْلُوهُ الْأَرْجُلَ جَعَلَهُ نُفُوسَهُمْ أَرْضًا لِلْكُلِ. صعب والله, but it's حق. He said, once the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realize that in order for a seed to bring forth fruit, where does it have to be placed? Under the ground, where the feet walk over it. Once they realize that when the seed is placed under the ground, and look where it's being placed. You know, my teachers, when we first started studying, when you first start off and learning ilm, right? You start to learn all of these sciences that are so difficult to learn, and like ilm al-sarf and ilm al-nahu, like grammar and etymology, it's so difficult. So one day our teacher came to us and he's like, how do you build a high building? How do you build an edifice that goes, you know, through the sky? Where do you build first? Which way do you go? Come on, architects? No architects? Like, come on, guys. Like the ground. Yeah, so it's like you go down to build up, right? You go down to build up. So what Imam Shafi'i, what they're telling us here is that get into the quality. SubhanAllah, I'm going to share a jewel with you. Most of us know Surah Ghashiyah. Surah Ghashiyah. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ سُطِحَ. What are the four things? Shaykhna, اقرأ. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى. Have you not looked at the camel and how it was created? Keep going. Have you not looked at the sky and how it's been raised? Have you not looked at the mountains and how firm they are and pegged down into the earth? And have you not looked at the earth, the way it's been flattened out? You know what my teacher said about that? He's like, Allah is telling you how to set your goals and be. First one is look at the camel, how it works. Give it a little bit of water, it keeps going. It doesn't stop. You give me a little, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying. I have goals and things I want to go after, I'm going to go after them. Just give me a little and I'm going to go. I'm going to work hard. What's the second one? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Look at the sky. Your ambitions, your goal. What do you want to become? A lot of the young Muslim brothers' ambitions is just like, low. No, shoot for the sky. Have high ambitions. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِيَتْ. What's the next one? And look at the strength though now. You need strength. You need strength, fortitude. Right? So look at the mountains and how firm they are. Look at what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in these four things. And what's the fourth one? Yo, be humble. Who you think you are? You know, today my daughter, she's not here. You guys know her by now, right? So my daughter, I was sleeping on the couch. I'm just like laying out, right? And she comes down the stairs. And I don't know what she was saying. I was half knocked out. But what she's doing, she's like stomping her little foot, right? And I'm thinking like, what is this little foot going to stomp? Like, what is it doing? إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْلِقَ الْعَضَّ, right? وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ تُولَ. Allah says like, who are you, insan? You stomp all you want. You can't put a hole in the ground. And you're not, look at the mountains. Look how small you are. So here she is stomping her little foot. And I'm like, SubhanAllah, this insan. This is just us right there. You may get a little bigger or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's the same thing. And Allah's like, فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُّبِينٌ. Like, who is this dude? What do you think you are? So it's just amazing. I saw that and I'm thinking, like, humble ourselves. Like, she's just a kid, guys, so, you know, whatever. But the point being The point being is that the lesson we learn from the camel is hard work. The lesson we learn from the sky is don't, the sky's the limit. The lesson we learn from the mountains is be strong. The lesson we learn from the earth is let people walk over you, but your strength is there. You're holding them up. Now, there's another problem with arrogance, guys. One of the biggest problems with arrogance is it stops you from benefiting. It stops you from gaining knowledge, from benefiting, from becoming better. Whatever you want to say, it stops you from benefiting. And in this, in our book here, he says, the muhakkik, he says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْحُجَبْ أَلَّتِي تَمْنَأُ السَّالِكْ أَنْ إِنْتِفَاءِ حِجَابُ النِّدِّي. Let me explain this. He says one of the biggest barriers that stops you from becoming a better Muslim with more spiritual wokeness, was our term, spiritual wokeness. The thing that's stopping you is hijab niddi. Now, what is a nid? A nid is a peer. Hijab niddi means when you walk into an environment, you see everyone as nidlak. Everyone's equal to me. Now, subhanAllah, if you want to understand this best, you know why new Muslims are the best at learning deen? You know why new Muslims are the best at learning deen? Because the moment they walk in the masjid, every person is a learning opportunity. Yo, teach me Fatiha. Yo, can you teach me wudu? Yo, can you teach me this? Every single person, they walk in the masjid, it's like, you're like, yo, ana asi, like, I'm nothing. They're like, no. You know the dua after this? Yo, can you please teach me that? Every single person they encounter when they walk in the masjid is a mu'allim for them, has something grand they can benefit from. What happens to us? We walk in, we're like, ain't nobody here. Even the sheikh, we're like, oh, he ain't got nothing for me. Straight up. So we walk in and walk out with nothing. But the new Muslim walks in, he's like, sister. Oh, well, she's like, sister. He's like, brother. He's like, yo, brother. And here you are thinking like, I don't have nothing. But he sees something in you. He sees something in you that you have, that you didn't even realize you have. And he pulled that out of you and walked out the masjid richer than he was when he walked in. Because he saw that you had something he didn't, and he saw potential in you. And here we are, we're the opposite now. We walk in wherever we go, either I'm better or they're equal. And in both situations, that's why Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he says you can never become a muhaddith until you take hadith from three people. Comments?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Come on, man. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, I mean, Allah clean our hearts, yo. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us pure intentions for whatever we do. I mean, obviously, yo, just think, if you please the entire creation, but you didn't please Allah, what did you get? That's what you got. And it's so hard, but unless we keep reflecting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I said earlier in one of our other halakas, when you're a new Muslim or you're in bad circumstances, ikhlas is easy. But when you're surrounded by good people, ikhlas is hard. Right? Ikhlas is hard. When you're surrounded where Islam is not favorable, then ikhlas is like, of course, I'm not going to fake this. Right? So Allah give us ikhlas, inshallah ta'ala. You should have told me, like, they said, like, you're horrible. If you were my true student, man, you'd be like, Sheikh, they said, like...
Those are the other 20 comments.
So I'll tell you a story, a tangent. One of the scholars, a great scholar from the subcontinent, I can't remember his name, forgive me, but he wasn't able to, like, read and stuff anymore because he got very old. So one of his students used to read him all the letters that came to him, okay? So... there was this one person that started writing really derogatory type critique of him, right? So the student started to not read that mail, okay? He started to not read that mail. So after about 3 weeks, the sheikh's like, how come we're not getting mail from such and such anymore? He's like, sheikh, it's right here. I just didn't want to read it to you. He's like, no, you gotta read me that. That's what fixes me. That's what I use to correct myself. You get what was happening? The student thought he was helping him by not reading the harsh mail against him. He's like, no. That's what I want you to read the most. Because that's the advice I take and I fix myself through that advice. We turn off comments. we turn off no comments allowed on this joint. Because I already know what's going to happen.
Allah give us tawfiq, man.
I was talking about Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that you can't learn a hadith and become a master of hadith until you learn from three people. Fawqa, niddak, dunak. He's like, until you learn from the one above you, the one equal to you, the one below, you'll never become a master of hadith. What are we learning? Everyone's an opportunity for me to become better. But the moment you arrogate yourself, the moment you arrogate yourself and put yourself above. Now, you know, Imam Ghazali says something amazing. He's like, say you're about to sit down. I'll just give a really kind of like whack example of this. He's like, say you're about to sit down somewhere and then you don't sit on that spot out of humility. And you're like, I'm going to sit down here and be humble. He's like, that's a sign of your arrogance right there. Because why? You felt you actually deserve that. The humility is when you feel you don't even really deserve that. I don't know if you guys felt me on that one. The moment you said, I'm sitting down below my status, you just proved how arrogant you were. You just showed it right there. But the moment you reach the level where you actually think you don't deserve that, like, that's not my haq right there. That's not my haq. And you believe that. That's the humility. Study the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The humility is pouring through the seerah. Walking through Mecca, Fathi Mecca, conquering the enemies. Like, what right do you have the right to be proud? His head is so low, it's touching the back of the camel. Like, that's when you're like, yeah, I told y'all. Remember y'all kicked me out 13 years ago? I'm back. Bilal, get up there, call the Adhan, right? SubhanAllah. But it was humility. It was humility. Like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. So what is this? What are one of the problems of humility is that it blocks you from benefiting. It stops you from being able to take intithat or benefit. The moment you lose that arrogance and you see the beauty in everyone else. Now let's look at the other hadith we said before. Man qala halaka an-nas fahuwa ahlakahum. Look at it from this perspective now. The one who said, oh, no one here could teach me anything. Yeah, you're not going to learn anything then. Right? So subhanAllah, give us tawfiq. This is a quality we need to get back inside ourselves, that we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves so we can benefit from everyone. We see khair in everyone. We see the virtue that everyone around us has. Allah give us tawfiq. Okay, I want to go now forward and look at the next thing that he says. We'll have a breakout at the end, inshallah. Woman, just to bring this home, he says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ لَكُمْ أَرْضِ بِسَاطًا. The earth was made flat for you, لِيُعَلَّمَكُمْ. So it'll teach you tawadha. And we talked about that before, right? Those verses that talk about tawadha. Okay, the next haq. I think they're really, the relationship is so strong. Number 8. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ. Please. Please get a chair. No, please. Please, no, right? It's right there.
No, I'm good.
No, please. I want you to be comfortable. Because we got like four more. It's right there. Okay, so you...
I'll go around.
No, please. No, you too.
No, I'm good.
No. My wife told me last week. No, please. Allah reward you, inshallah. I want you to listen closely. Now, you know, Allah give us tawfiq. Bismillah. Okay. The next one. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُؤَثِّرَهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. سُبْحَانَ الصَّعَبُ وَاللَّهِ. The next haq, he says, is that you give them preference over yourself. If we're in line with what we've been saying already, it makes sense. If we're in line with what we're saying already, it makes sense. فقالوا فقد قالوا لا يسود أحدا لا يسود أحد على أقرانه إلا أن آثرهم على نفسه. The saying is that a person will never become a leader of a group of people until he gives them preference over himself. The Prophet ﷺ said it. سيد القوم خادمهم. The leader of the people is the one that serves the people, right? واحتمل أذاهم any. SubhanAllah, it's counterintuitive, right? Because you would think as the leader, like, I need to arrogate myself above everyone. To be the leader, I need to put myself above everyone. But the Prophet ﷺ's method for teaching this is counterintuitive to that, which is no. The way you become a true leader is to go below the people and serve the people. That's the way you become a true leader. It's really counterintuitive. It's really interesting, his perspective on how we gain leadership. Next one. Number 9. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ. And from the rights of one brother on another brother, one sister on another sister, one friend on another friend. أَنْ يَخْدِمَهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ. فَكَذَا ذَكَرُوا أَنَّ الْفُتُوَّةَ فِي خِدْمَةِ الْإِخْوَانِ. ومن كلام أستاذ جنيد رحمه الله ينبغي للإنسان أن يخدم إخوانه ثم يتعذر إليهم بأنه ما قام بواجب حقه. He says number 9. And one of the rights of one brother on another brother, one sister on another sister, is that you serve them when they are sick. You serve them. خدمة. You serve them. I'm at your service. على رأسي وعيني. صح? Whatever you want from me, I'm at your service. I'm here for you. What do you need? Not lip service. Call me if you need anything. And when they call, you don't pick up. Right? When they call, you silence it. No. على رأسي وعيني. Whatever you need, I'm there for you. Then he says, they say that the sign of chivalry. If I can say that properly. I'm not even going to try again. El Futuwa في خدمة الإخوان. The sign of that. Concept. I would try again, but my wife is going to roast me at home. Roast me. I know she's watching. She's going to roast me. The sign of that concept is to have, is khidma, serving. I'll tell you something really close, personal to me. All jokes aside, this was amazing. So it was Ramadan, and I was spending the whole month in i'tikaf, okay? And I was at my school. They had this beautiful masjid too, and many people would come to do i'tikaf in the masjid to spend time with the sheikh that was there. And one of the closest people to the sheikh was someone who actually lived in the city, and his job was like maintenance. That's what he did. Maintenance, cleaning, this, that. That's all he did. But spiritually, the guy, he was amazing spiritually. Spiritually amazing, right? So one night in Ramadan, and he can't do i'tikaf. Why? Because he's cleaning. He's serving everyone, right? So one night in i'tikaf, I'm in i'tikaf, I had a dream. I never shared this dream with anyone. I don't know. Someone here is pulling it out of me. I saw him in a dream. Now, they had the masjid was beautiful masjid. There was a member in the front of the masjid, like all masjids, obviously. There was a member in the front of the masjid. But in this dream, we were all sitting in the sufuf, right? And there was a light that was kind of like in the niche above the member. And in this dream, I saw that the light was out. So in the dream, he walked up on the member. He fixed it. And when he turned around, he stood there. And everyone is looking up at him. And at that moment, it was like as if everyone realized his position. In the dream, we all felt it. He fixed it and he turned around and looked at us. And then everyone's like, at that moment, and in my mind in the dream, it was like, that's his position. That's his role. So I did tell one person, I told one of my teachers, and he said, it's clear. What you need a translation of that? He's like, do you need me to interpret that? I mean, you see his position. But wallahi, all he was doing was cleaning the whole month, serving everyone. He got the reward for everyone's i'tikaf, serving the people. Wallahu a'lam. It's just, so look what he says though. I want to come back to this. He says, Imam Junaid rahimahullah used to say, it is necessary for you to serve your brothers and sisters and then ask them excuse for not doing it the way you should have did it. Hold on. I just got you your tea and now you want more sugar? She's not appreciative of all this stuff I do for this class. No, look what he says. He says, yambaghi, that you do khidma, and then after you do khidma, you go, I'm sorry I wasn't able to fulfill your haq. You don't say it, you feel it. You feel it. So, wallahi, this thing, these are sad, right? But so we need to set our ideals. And this is what our fajitna bi abaina, right? Like, this is what our deen teaches us. that you serve people, and then at the end of serving, you say, I didn't do as what you deserve. Not the other way, that like, don't you appreciate what I did for you? Don't you know how hard it was for me to do this? Allah give us tawfiq. And then he goes further, but that's a little too hard for us. So I'm going to go further. I'm going to go on to the next one, inshallah. SubhanAllah, that enough right there is heavy. وَمِنْ كَلَامِ He says, وَمِنْ كَلَامِ الشَّيْكِ شَاذِرِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ مَنْ تَعَزَّزَ عَلَى خِدْمَةِ إِخْوَانِهِ Whoever thinks they're too big, too aziz, too high to do khidmah of their brothers and sisters, وَرَثَهُ اللَّهُ ذِلًّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates this person. Brings you down. So this is what the deen is asking us to do. Let's go to the next one. Last one, inshallah, for tonight. All of these have the same theme. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ One of the rights of one sister on another sister, one brother on another brother, أَنْ يَحْتَرِمَهُ وَيُوَقِّيرْهِ تَوْقِيرْ That you, exact opposite. احترام. You, what is the word? You honor the person. You uplift the person. You give them such high value in your eyes. لَا سِيَمَا إِذَا اسْتَحَقَّ ذَلِكَ كَأَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَوْ حَمَلَ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ مِنْ عُتْرَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ He says, especially if they're people of knowledge or people of the Qur'an or from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, they have a position, you honor them. Then he says, and we're ending with this, Imam Nawawi says, وَفِي وَسِيَةِ Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi, subhanAllah, the Imam of Damascus, wrote so many books, amazing, died at the age of 40-something years old, but left so much knowledge. He says, لَا تَسْتَصْغِرْ أَحَدًا This is the summary of tonight. لَا تَسْتَصْغِرْ أَحَدًا Never ever belittle, look down upon, استصغر. Never ever devalue or think of small of any person. Why? Here's the reason, logically speaking. فَإِنَّ الْعَاقِبَ مَنْ تَوِيَّ Because the final outcome, it hasn't played out yet. You feel me or no? You feel what I'm saying? You don't know who won the race yet. What you talking about? You saw the bloopers, this guy's like, yeah, and the guy runs fast, right? Like, we don't know who won this joint yet. You don't know where you're at yet. You're not done. You're not finished yet. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَ مَنْ تَوِيَّ The outcome is still rolled up. He says rolled up, like hasn't been exposed yet. وَالْعَبْدُ لَا يَدْرِي بِمَا يَخْتِمُ لَهُ And you don't know how you're going to end this life. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَاصِيًا So if you see someone sinning, فَلَا تُقَدِّمْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَيْهِ Don't put yourself above that person. فَرُبَّمَا كَانَ فِي إِلْمِ اللَّهِ أَعْلَى مِنْكَ مَقَامًا Because you don't know if in the knowledge of Allah, He's higher than you, وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْفَاسِقِينَ And you, oh pious right now, you're one of the fasiqs on the Day of Judgment. Ajib. Heavy stuff. He says, he continues, Afwan, وَيَسِيرُ يَشْفَعُ لَكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And that person you were just looking down upon is interceding for you on the Day of Judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Switched up, subhanAllah. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ صَغِيرًا You see someone small, young. فَحْكَمْ بِأَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ Just know he's better than you. Why? بِاعْتِبَارَ أَنَّهُ أَحْقَرَ مِنْكَ ذُنُوبًا He's less sins than you. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَنْ هُوَ أَكْبَرَ مِنْكَ سِنًا You see someone older than you? فَحْكَمْ بِأَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ No, the person is better than you. بِاعْتِبَارَ أَنَّهُ أَقْدَمَ مِنْكَ حِجْرَةً فِي الْإِسْلَامِ He worshipped Allah. She worshipped Allah more than you. Who are you? One person passed away. SubhanAllah. Time of the Prophet ﷺ, achieve. Hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, one time, one brother, he died in jihad. And time went on, a year went on. And if my memory serves me correct, the other brother died a year later. Someone else saw a dream. And he said, Ya Rasul, I saw the second brother way higher in Jannah than the first brother who died in the path of Allah. He says, how many more salah did he pray in him? How many more tasbihat did he do than him? It's clear, it's wild there. So he says, you see someone older than you? Look, you're better than me. How much more you worshiped Allah than me? بِعَتِبَارَ أَنُّهُ أَخْدَمَ مِنْكَ حِجْرَةِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ كَافِرٍ. If you see someone who doesn't believe in Allah, فَلَا تَقْطَعْ لَهُ بِالنَّارِ. Don't consider this person as a people of hellfire. How do you know? لِإِحْتِمَالَ أَنُّهُ يُسْلِمْ وَيَمُوتَ مُسْلِمْ. How do you know he won't accept Islam and die on the deen? Summary of tonight, brothers and sisters. If we want to accept truth when it comes, better ourselves and benefit from everyone around us, if we want to value and know our responsibilities to people and serve them, if we want to value that friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood, and keep it tight, drop the arrogance, drop your ego, see the value of other people. That's the summary of tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Heavy, heavy stuff. Allah give us tawfiq. Wallahi, how many times friendships break up? Why? She's so arrogant. He's so arrogant. Right? Main problem, many masjids. Certain group of people feel like what? Everyone from this community, from this segment, look down upon us. Because, oh, okay, we drive taxis and their fathers are doctors. Right? So that they warratha, subhanAllah, they warratha ta'asub. They pass down ta'asub. Ajib. Because my daughter right now doesn't know anyone's better than her. Someone has to teach her that. Someone has to teach her that, oh, they drive taxis. We don't do that. She doesn't know that. And wallahi, everyone knows what I'm talking about because every community has that same problem. Same exact problem. Allah give us tawfiq. So practical is this. Listen, I'm not going to let anyone put me down. I'm not going to let someone spit in my face. I'm not going to let someone punch me in the face. But I'm not going to think I'm better than someone. I'm going to see the good in you. I'm going to see the good in that person and see this person may be better than me. Even one imam was asked, this non-Muslim, how do you think they're better than you? He said, because I know Allah in sin. He doesn't know Allah. I know him and I'm sinning. What could be worse than that? He doesn't even know. So how can I be better than him? So the point I'm saying is that we don't put ourselves in, humiliate ourselves and, oh, I'm nothing and whatever. No, you have izzat in nas, but you don't arrogate yourself on other people. You don't, you raise up people, you serve the people, and become a servant of the people. That was what the Prophet ﷺ did. He served the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Let's open it up for comments, questions, objections, everything, inshallah. Bismillah. So yeah, we have a section on the podcast for you. It's like, you know, Imam Mikael, this, that, and Sister Such and Such. No, I'm just messing with you. It's all good. Go ahead. Yeah, it's all good. Bismillah.
But I think something I just wanted to put out there, I guess, for myself. Yeah. I just wrote something or posted something about my father and about him being a simple man.
SubhanAllah.
And just trying to understand his way of saying, I love you, because of all the years of crying and, like, hoping that he would express it in a certain way.
Yeah.
But trying to have an understanding in our generation of being in Western society.
Yeah.
To be understanding of their ways. And it's so funny that SubhanAllah, you said something about tea. That's a picture that I posted of me giving him tea. And he was...
Take some.
And me saying, like, him me giving him tea is basically him saying, I love you.
Yeah.
And how him, SubhanAllah, like, when he came in asking for the tea... He caught me praying, and I was like, that's my way of, I guess, my way of expressing to him, like, I'm sorry for all the pains and worries that you caused, but that you raised your daughter, right?
Yeah.
So there's, like, that silent communication.
So something she's talking about, it's not directly connected to this, but it's beautiful, which is understanding how people say love and speak emotion. Right. Understanding that everyone doesn't communicate it the same way.
Exactly.
Allahu Akbar.
But you mentioned taxi driver, and something that till now that has like a pinch in my heart when I do think about it. My dad was a taxi driver when we first came to the country, and you're refugees, understandably. It's a struggle, but as a young kid, I don't know that.
Yeah.
So I think it was like junior high, at the time, he was still a taxi driver in the junior high level, and I remember like getting the looks whenever he would drop me off.
SubhanAllah.
I closed the door, and I would never show him.
Yes,
ever.
Yes.
I would never show him that I was ever embarrassed. But there's that pinch of like me feeling that sense of embarrassment.
SubhanAllah.
Like it, like when it comes back, and it rarely does, but when I do, I think it's a very humbling feeling. And when you say about arrogance and it being someone like your father, it doesn't have to be just friends.
SubhanAllah.
It really, it humbles you.
Not, I mean, everything he did for you, subhanAllah, right? Everything. And you know what? Hold on, though. When it comes to work, like, we become a society that defines themselves by what they do. What does that mean? Like, people did jobs to provide, and they lived. We take jobs as the definition of life. That's a whole different. We say, like, what do you do? What do you mean, what do I do? What are you? What do you mean, what am I? So, I teach Islam, but that's not, like, defining me. Like, why do we keep defining ourselves through occupations? As if that's all you are. I don't think we need to fall into that trap of thinking. Yeah, I do this job, whatever. This is what I put food on the table with. That's it. This isn't me. This doesn't define my existence. This is just the way I provide for my family. Khalas. And if it's honorable, if it's halal, if it's honorable, what could be better than that? SubhanAllah. You know, Dawood, كان يعمل بيدي. Like Dawood alayhi salam worked with his hands. Isa was a carpenter. Right? If you study the lives of the prophets, Dawood was a blacksmith as well. Yeah, worked with his hands. Like, these are honorable. Blue collar is honorable, yo. And we get to this point where blue collar is like, oh, vocational skills? And now back to IT is basically vocational again, right? Same thing. But anyways, I think that we need to really educate ourselves about stop defining ourselves by the work that we do. And there are deeper things to define ourselves by. There are deeper things to define yourself by than just the job that you do to provide for yourself. Wallahu a'lam. But I like the point you said about how we show love to each other. We really need to learn how other people communicate love. Learn how other people communicate love and recognize that. Smiling? Yo, it's serious. Learn how people say, I love you, and speak that language back to them. Not everyone can say straight up, I love you. Right? It's hard to say. They do other things. Dad will do something else. So for me as American, I think it was a little easier. We just, I love you. It's like, whatever. I love you too. Like, but I said that one, my wife's probably watching, but anyway, whatever. She's good. No, I'm saying, I was like, whatever, let me just stop.
Hey, brother, I love you.
I love you too, yo. See? My convert brother, I love you, yo. I love you too. Yes.
So, when we're talking about, like, modesty and humbling ourselves, recognizing that we're not as good as other people, there's
yeah.
a place where it becomes blameworthy, modesty, where you recognize you have a certain skill to provide to people or a certain expertise.
And you're too shy.
Or a wisdom, and that you just say, oh, no, I'm not good enough to do this. Or,
yeah.
I don't deserve this.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. You know, Ibn Umar. The Prophet ﷺ asked a question, right? He asked a question to the whole gathering, and he knew the answer, but he didn't say it. And then he told his dad after, I knew the answer. And his dad, like, you should have said it. You should have spoke up. It would have made me so proud. But he felt I was the youngest guy in the gathering. Like, who am I to speak up? So I can't speak up. Again, you're right. I don't want us to take this out of context, but the idea is if we really need balance in this. We really do need balance in this, but I don't want to just kind of completely offset everything we just spoke about tawadhu and the virtue of it. But just don't end up in the category of arrogance. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's a balance in between where you're humble, but you speak up when you have to speak up because that's the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on you. You want to add to this? This is actually what I really wanted to get to, that balance between the two. Yes, Sister Mesa.
Allah.
Yeah. Came from Allah. SubhanAllah. Beautiful. MashaAllah. Yes, sister.
So how do you balance that in a corporate setting?
Oh, no, this ain't corporate. None of this is corporate. Corporate is cutthroat.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I know this is kind of derailing, but.
No, for real. I mean.
Al harbu khida.
No. Corporate is different.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. If you start doing all this stuff in corporate world, you ain't getting nowhere. Like, so hold on though. Let's I don't know, yo.
to get treated a lot better. And I apologize for treating you poorly.
SubhanAllah.
Because a lot of times people don't know, and they're complaining about something. You're like, oh, I'll tell their nurse. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that was not you.
Yeah, SubhanAllah.
That's the way my mom raised me. She treats the doctor the same way you treat the janitor.
Exactly, 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 yeah. Exactly.
And so if you're going to say good morning to the doctor, you should say that to the janitor.
Yeah, I don't think you're saying that side of thing about how you treat other people. It's just about when you need to speak up and say something, if you don't speak up, then you'll get left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to stand up and speak up. I definitely think that tawadhu doesn't mean you don't speak up when it's time to have haq. When it's time to speak up, you have a chance to move forward. You have the chance to say, I can do this. I know what to do. No, that's wrong. I have an idea. I think we should still speak up without. Remember, that person asked, what is kibr? He said, rejection of the truth and looking down on people. Make sure those two things aren't there. I think we're good. Wallahu a'lam.
Figure out the difference between humility and a lack of confidence.
Yes.
And if it's coming, and like really needing to be self-aware and realize, okay, am I being humble because I have that sense of humility, or is it because I'm really like viewing myself in a negative way where I don't have a value for myself that Allah instilled in me.
Yes.
And so now I think in order to compensate for that, a lot of things I'll see online especially, is this just like, and I think at one point, in order to cover up or heal in the wrong way, I'm guilty of it too. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to go into this like self-love, but in diva mode. Like,
yeah.
Okay, no regrets. This is me. Take me as I am. Like that tone.
Yes.
And where it's like there's no sense of personal growth. And then that's like a major arrogance. And
even yeah.
when it comes to these girls that are even like, let's say, like want like are looking for some a significant other. I don't blame the guys and being like, okay, well, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah.
That tone of arrogance when a girl is saying, this is me, I'm not going to change, there's no compromise, this is me, and this is my identity. Like, I think that's something that you really have to, again, like, find the root. Am I doing this because I'm hurting and have a lack of confidence?
Yeah.
Or, and like, because it can completely erase the sense of humility.
Yeah, we project weaknesses as strengths. We project our weaknesses as strengths to protect, to compensate for that. You know, so SubhanAllah, you act really hard, but you're soft, right? So you project this hardness, right? Because in reality, that's not what you have inside, and you don't want people to know what's really deep inside.
It can go away. Humility can literally disappear.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Allah give us tawfiq. It is a difficult balance. At least we get to this point where we're not putting down people, and we see the value in others. There were three levels of humility I wanted to talk about really quick, though. Or arrogance. One is arrogance against Allah. The second is arrogance against the prophets of Allah. The third is arrogance with or against other people. Right? So there's these three levels that Imam Ghazali speaks about. But what happens is one leads to the next one. You start off arrogant just to the Imam. Then you get arrogant with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then you get arrogant with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Literally, that's the way it goes. So the first place of humility is with other people, other teachers. Yeah.
And then at the end of our Hajj, we had like a really fun group. So he did this like most like funniest Hajj.
Okay.
Most helpful Hajj. Cutest.
SubhanAllah.
A lot of honeymooners.
Okay.
So at the end of our Hajj, and we voted, right? Everybody closed their eyes and everybody voted, you know, to see.
Yeah.
So they did most helpful. And I was sitting next to a sister, and she got voted most helpful.
Yes.
She nominated three people.
Yeah.
And then out of the nominees, everybody voted, and she got voted most helpful. And then when she won most helpful, and everybody was like, she really was. She was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very nice lady. And I was sitting next to her, and she said, sitting there, she turns to me, and she's like, oh Allah, make me what these people think I am.
SubhanAllah, it's the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. You know? So I'm SubhanAllah. Just saying, like, that, for me,
SubhanAllah.
Encompasses what you're
yeah, so at. Beautiful.
Yeah, where someone else would have been like, I want a reward too. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. SubhanAllah.
She won. And
she's like,
she
oh,
said,
Allah.
Yeah,
SubhanAllah.
Make me what they think. Like,
what make me what they think I am.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
So, that just reminded me of that.
Muhammad?
Yeah, two things. The first thing is like a quick comment. Like you were saying, the prophets of Allah,
Alayhi wasallam.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he says that all the prophets of Allah were shepherds.
Okay, yeah.
So basically, the people that everybody looks up to, almost whatever billion people live in the world, the people we look up to and take as leaders, they started as shepherds, which was is something that many of us look down upon.
Yes.
So that's just going back to your point about just because you're a taxi driver doesn't mean you look down on people.
Yeah.
Look down on those people.
Yeah.
The second thing, I think it's a question, and it's going to be practical to many people, is we can often take steps to kind of counter our arrogance in terms of actions. So we can work to serve people. But still, internally, many of us can still, like when we walk in a room, we can still feel like, I'm better than this person.
Yes.
He doesn't have that.
Yes.
We can like try to hide it in terms of actions and help them, but internally, we still feel that arrogance.
Okay.
So what are practical steps
that
we can take?
Yeah, okay. So one thing I would say, first thing first, is having that feeling is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we walk in the room or we interact with people and we feel arrogance, if we have the ability to feel that and recognize the feeling, that's the first step. Many people don't even realize it and they need someone to actually point it out. A friend, hey, you are very arrogant, by the way. A close friend, like, yo, you got a problem. Some people start to center themselves. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that the base of these things is knowledge. Knowledge, first thing, and action. It's all based in a false knowledge, a false assumption about who you are. And it's about you not knowing who you really are, like what she was saying, subhanAllah. When you really know who you are, you become confident in just you, and you don't have to... So Allah says, "In fi sudurihim illa kibrun ma hum bibalighi." In their hearts is a kibr that they can't even reach. Like, the way they think about themselves, they can't even get to that level. So subhanAllah, it's amazing because they're actually have this idea, khayal, about themselves, of who they are, but it's not, that's not real. And they have a false understanding of other people as well. I think it's more about knowing who you are and getting more in touch with yourself. Something else my teacher told me, and some of you may find this hard to do, it's really practical though. He said, all of your classmates, anyone ask you for something, I want you never to say no to anyone. Don't say no to anyone. It was so hard. Like people you know, this isn't like people on the streets or something, right guys? This is like everyone around you, anyone ask you for anyone. And if you have little kids like mine, like they will rip your arrogance apart. Like you're just laying there like, give me water. You're like, oh my God. Right, and you sit back down, and then the next one's like, me too. You're like, I was just there. No, so he said to me on a practical, he said, don't say no to anyone. If anyone asks you for anyone, say, okay, I got you. Okay, okay, okay. The other thing, practical thing, is actually serve people, bro. Serve people will break that down. Serving people with this feeling that I haven't done you haq, try it. Try it with your classmates only. You'll see the effect of it. Yeah. Yes.
And there's like this really specific incident that really sticks with me all the time. I was sitting with a homeless man once, and I was talking to him about the conflict in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
He had asked me about it. My name was Arabi. He asked me about it. And during the middle of the conversation, he stopped the conversation. And he reached out and grabbed my shoulder, and he squeezed my shoulder, and he said, thank you. And he said, thank you for reminding me that there's people suffering more than I am.
Allah.
And that I forgot to pray for those people, and I haven't been thankful for the fact that although I might have a roof over my head, I might not have a place to sleep tonight, at least I feel safe.
Yeah.
And there's people who don't feel safe on a nightly basis.
Wow.
And that moment always sticks with me because like that interaction
taught
me so much.
Yeah.
So like our actions, at first we might come with an arrogant perspective, but once we interact with people, we just see the beauty in everyone else.
Mm.
We realize how much we have to learn.
Yeah.
When this person's homeless and we put so many stereotypes on those type of people.
SubhanAllah, beautiful. Learning from everyone too. Any person, learn from them. Take a benefit from them. And serve people. Wallahu a'lam. All right, so everyone knows the deal. Inshallah, we're going to end right now. Have salah. After salah, for like 4 minutes, we sit. Just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Silently to ourselves, inshallah. Then after that, we just chill a bit. Don't leave right away. Like I said last week, if you weren't here last week, we talked about how brotherhood and sister, we need like fellowship, right? We need to chill with each other. So this whole drive-through mentality, I'm a drive-through, get my knowledge and bounce. No, this is dine in, okay? So you got your plate of ilm, knowledge. Now we're going to sit down in the area and we're going to chill a bit, right? And just chill out for 5, 10 minutes, whatever. Like I said last week, you never know what sister or brother needs you, right? And when you just leave, then you left other people hanging. They came looking for something, right? So, and inshallah, it's a good way for us to know each other, inshallah ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. See you all next week, inshallah ta'ala.